Live from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios, it's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your life and your money. Thank you for being with us, America. Nicole is with us in Bozeman, Montana. Hi, Nicole. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave and Jade. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
So my husband and I are planning to move abroad for 2 years, then return back to Bozeman, Montana, and we're trying to figure out what to do with our townhouse. We purchased our townhome in April of 2020, right before things went crazy here, for $310,000. We currently owe $225,000 on it and have an interest rate of 2.6%. Our monthly payment's $1,950, which is right at a quarter of our take-home pay. We had our realtor come to our house last week. They said that they would list it right at $500,000. I called a handful of property management companies that said we could rent it for about $3,000 a month. And I'm just trying to wrap my head around if we sell it, which I think is what you're going to say we should do. I'm just nervous that when we come back, even like with the equity that we'd get from selling it, that we wouldn't be able to afford something that would put us at a 15-year fixed rate mortgage at a quarter of our take-home pay.
Because of the interest rates?
The interest rates, and even just, we bought it for $310,000, so he's saying that
What you bought it for doesn't matter. What you sell it for is what matters. So if you sell it for $500,000 and prices don't go up, then the only difference in your payment would be a higher interest rate.
The interest rate, and our realtor told us to expect about 12% to go to closing costs and things like that, and then once we pay off what we currently own, I'm assuming that if we sold it at $500,000, we take home about $215,000. Mm-hmm. So if we came back and bought something at $500,000, that's still that would be a larger mortgage.
It's a 12% swing max.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, you're 6% realtor commission typically, and you've got other miscellaneous closing costs. So 10-12% swing. But that's assuming prices don't go up. Okay, so really, your biggest issue is if interest rates stay right now where they are, they're double what you're paying now.
Correct.
The payment's not double, but the interest rate's double.
And you think you're not going to be able to get as much house for your money. Am I hearing that right?
That's my concern, yeah. Just like a lot of other places in the country, things here are pretty crazy. I'd love to see it change. I just don't think it will.
I just don't feel good about you going out of the country and having a rental. I mean, that gives me more anxiety.
Okay, so if you, when you come back, your income will not have changed. What are you doing when you're gone for 2 years? You on the mission field, or what are you doing?
No, we're planning to move to New Zealand. My husband's an electrician, and electricians are on the long-term job shortage list over there. So we'd be moving over. He'd be doing electrical work. I'd be able to get a job once we get there. We don't have kids or anything right now. I'm 29, so before we settle down.
So are you going to? Is he going to be making a lot more? Is your income going to be up, way up, while you're there?
Our income will be up, but the cost of living over there is more expensive. I don't expect us to come home with, like a pile of cash.
So we're doing this, why?
What it's going to cost for renting and stuff.
We're doing this because we want to go to New Zealand?
Even more reason to sell. Because what if you...
Wait a minute. I want to hear the end of this. Hold on a second. Why are you going?
Yeah, we've been working your debt snowball plan, so we've paid off our debt, and we don't have kids, like I said, right now. So before we settle down to start trying for a family,
it's a break-even adventure.
In a different country.
It's an adventure for break-even to get to live in New Zealand for 2 years to have a fun time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. And then when you come back, you'll be doing back to your old jobs, probably.
Correct.
Yes. And these are a max 2 year contract, and then New Zealand boots you out, right?
The work visa is up to 3 years, but we're planning on 2.
Okay.
And then max would be 3, and then we'd be booted out.
So if real estate prices go up some, which we're projecting when we did our real estate reality last year, stream, we projected and we shared with you guys projections and the reasons for them, that we would see somewhere around a 7 or 8% increase in prices in 2023. Across the board in the United States, some areas more, some areas less, but that's across the board. As of February, it's 7.8%, so we're dead on, okay? 24 is supposed to be a little less. And typically, 5 to 10% increase in prices is normal year in and year out in real estate, somewhere in that range. Obviously, we've seen craziness. Now, what we have seen, the biggest thing you've got is not the for returning with the same income, no more money. The 12%, you know, the loss of some of your equity is not that big a deal. It's 40, 50 grand. That's not going to keep you from doing the deal. The biggest issue is, are interest rates going to come down while you're gone to where you can get a similar price? Because right now, the 6% rate is going to make a bigger difference in your payment than the prices will. Okay. So I'm not worried about you repurchasing for price increases. I am a little bit worried about you repurchasing on interest rates if they continue to rise or if they went down while you're gone in that 2 years. I don't know what's going to happen there. I have no clue, to be honest with you. Now, what were you going to ask that I was missing?
I just wondered, you know, you're talking about going abroad. This is something you want to do. Is there a chance? I mean, your plan is to stay for 2 years, but if you end up really liking it and you can stay 3 years, I just feel like there's a lot of variables that when you're tethered to this property, it kind of keeps you tethered down.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to New Zealand and I'm selling the house. Now, let me tell you why I did that. Because your reason for going is to live an adventure. Your reason for going is taken away from you if you are long-distance landlording from freaking New Zealand to Bozeman, okay? Some idiot will change his Harley oil in your living room, okay? And this is what happens when you long-distance landlord, even with a property manager. And you're, you know, all of, so you can't have the adventure and still try to have the stability at home. It's not going to give you the adventure. We're trying to get the adventure.
Yeah, you're going to be stressed out.
With the adventure comes freedom, and the freedom from this house. And then just deal with life when you come home. Figure out what it is. I don't know exactly what it's going to be. It could be higher prices. Could be higher interest rates. Prices could come down, which would mean I was wrong. Interest rates could come down, which I have no idea whether that happens or not. I wouldn't be wrong because I didn't make a prediction there. But that's the thing. So I do the adventure. If you're going to do the adventure, girl, don't do the I'm going to have stability back home and adventure. This is two different girls. Mm-hmm. Be the adventure girl or be the stability girl back home and don't go.
That's a good point.
But don't, you can't have both. Yep. It's not going to work for you.
Yep.
Because it's going to, what you're not realizing is the stress of continued home ownership in the midst of this is not worth what the transact, it's taking away from the adventure.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think what you're doing is fun. I just wish you were doubling your income while you're in New Zealand. That would have made it super fun. Like the people that do stuff going to Dubai for a year or something. That's or going to the sandbox or to do whatever. That's serious money there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to do it, but hey, maybe it'll turn out that way too.
Maybe.
I don't know. But sell it if you're going to go. That's what I would do. This is The Ramsey Show. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Hey, listen up. Our Smart Conference weekend, the inaugural event for the new Ramsey Event Center, which they're putting the finishing touches on as we speak. They're out there rolling out sod right now, which costs more than gold. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. It is beautiful already. Tickets have been going fast. We've got just a handful left, little less than 100 tickets. So if you want to come to the weekend, it's April 14th and 15th. It's going to be a uniquely Nashville weekend. We'll do the show and stuff at the brand new event center on Friday. We've got some of our good country music friends that we've gotten to know over the 30 years we've lived here that are going to stop by and say howdy to you guys and play a tune for you, that kind of stuff. And then all day on Saturday, we're having wonderful teachings on mental health, on career, on money, on every part of your relationships, every part of your life. It's going to be an incredible, incredible Smart Conference. All the Ramsey personalities will be on the stage. We're going to do events. We're going to do live podcasts from there. You're going to get their commemorative badge for the opening event. You're there for the inaugural event. This is all Nashville. Yeah, live music and the whole bit. Tickets start as low as $119, but again, there's just a few left. They're just about gone. So if you really want your tickets, you need to get them like yesterday. Jump on there. And we don't hype this stuff. We don't almost sell it out and then tell you. Listen, there's like I saw the report a while ago. It comes through. I'm the CEO. Okay. I get the reports on these things. There's actually 74 tickets left. Okay. That's exactly how many are left. They less than 100. It is 74. That's what's left. Okay. And as I finish speaking, it's probably going down. So there you go. RamseySolutions.com/events. RamseySolutions.com/events. Now, if you didn't know, there's a very large, I can't even remember how many is in there now. It's probably approaching right at a million folks now in the Baby Steps community private Facebook group. Not real private if there's almost a million people in there, but it's a massive thing. And we've been having some fun with this. Rebecca at the Ramsey Baby Steps community made the following post, and here are some of the responses.
She says, you know you listen to Dave Ramsey when, number one, your kids know the call-in phone number, 888-825-5225.
Look at you, off the memory.
Man, I don't know.
You were a listener for a long time before you came here.
I think so, but if my kids could say it, that might be
this
different.
This is funny. You think of the Costco hot dog as splurging.
$1.50.
You might be a Dave Ramsey.
Love this one. Oh, and we've seen this. Your first date turns into an FPU in a nutshell.
Ooh, yeah, we have seen that. Yeah.
Let's see. I like this
one. The kids ask if it's in the budget. Yeah, that's true. That one definitely comes
up. I would love my kids to ask that. Your child repeats, debt is dumb, cash is king to everyone he knows.
Oh, this one had a picture with it. Your child thinks one of the Minecraft characters on his pajamas looks like George Camel. You know why?
Oh, oh.
Because it looks like George Camel. There you go.
I love this. You can't watch Braveheart anymore without hearing Dave's laughing in an otherwise serious moment of the film. I've been there.
Yeah. When he yells freedom is when he gets his head cut off. Do you remember the end of the movie? That's it. I mean, it's like, freedom! Yeah, it's like, that's what we use for the debt-free scream.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with that.
Love it. I love this one. You start using words like whoop-de-doop-de. I love when you say stupid butt. That's my favorite.
Bass-ackwards.
Yeah. Plasectomy. Hoopty. That's one of my favorites. Yeah. Stupid tax.
Yeah, this one. You know, somebody started doing this years ago. You might be a redneck if. You might listen to too much Dave Ramsey or Ramsey Show if. But rice and beans is a five-course dinner. Okay,
oh,
there
gosh.
You go. Yeah.
Love it. Oh, this is my favorite. Baker Street comes on at the pool while on vacation, and one of your kids yells, we paid cash, Dave. I was telling Dave earlier, my kids like the movie Sing. And in the movie Sing, one of the characters is playing Baker Street on a saxophone. And my son goes, Mama, that's Dave Ramsey's music.
It's like, yep. Jerry Rafferty might take offense to that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, there it is.
Not my music, but yeah.
Well, you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
You've kind of got it all dialed down at that point, that's for sure. Hey, thanks for joining us, America. This is your show. It's Common Sense for your life and your dollars and cents. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Justin is with us in Atlanta. Hi, Justin. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Thank you for having me. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
So I kind of got a decision I'm wrestling with, and I was hoping maybe, you guys could, help me with that. So what I got here is, at my work, my employer, basically gave me the option, for a company, vehicle or a vehicle allowance. And I'm just trying to figure out which is, the best for me, which is the wisest decision there.
What do you do?
So I'm in project management and estimating for a mechanical contractor.
How many miles a year you put on this vehicle?
I've been in this role for 2 years and averages about 16,000 miles a year.
So not much. That's not much. That's below average. Okay. Or right around average, I guess. Like that.
How much is the allowance?
$700 a month. It is taxed. So after it gets taxed, it's like $600 net.
Okay. Let's back up two steps and give you the premise. Okay. Number one, under no circumstances do you go buy a car with car payments.
Correct.
Okay. That, if you're paying cash for the car and they're going to give you $700, we can think about it. All right. Now, here's the thing. What we often don't think about is if you bought a car, how expensive a car would you buy? Or you have a car?
I have a car, yeah.
Okay, so you could just take $700.
I can.
Good.
I mean, it's
good.
It's old. It's an old car.
Okay. Have you got any money to buy a better car?
I've got about $5,000 outside of my emergency fund.
Okay, so you could move up $5,000 in car. But we're not doing car payments. You got that, Justin, right?
Correct.
Because if you lose the job, you still got the car payments, and you don't have the dadgum $700 anymore.
Yeah, and that's...
So people all the time take a car allowance and use that as an excuse to get a car payment. Mm-hmm. That's dumb, but that's horrible thinking. All right, so we're not doing that. But now once we get past that, then what we're doing is we're doing just a math analysis on the ownership of a vehicle. If you were putting 60,000 miles on the thing or something, I would just tell you take their car, company car. Because you cannot operate a vehicle and put 60,000 miles on it with the depreciation that's going to occur and the maintenance that's going to occur with that kind of heavy miles on $700. You can't do it. All right. So you'd be better off to drive their car. Now, in your case, you're not putting many miles on it. And this just sounds like they're giving you some kind of a benefit because you've been doing a good job, which is nice.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I've worked up to this. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. It's a compliment to you. So well done.
Thank you.
So what you've got to figure out is let's say your current car is worth what?
$6,500.
Okay, so buy a $12,000 car, you pay cash for it. All right, now, what's going to happen to that $12,000 car, and you got $700 a month to cover it? Now, if they give you the company car, does that include insurance? I'm sure it does. It includes maintenance. I'm sure it does. Does it include fuel?
Yes, I would get a fuel card either way.
Either way. Okay, so that's a break even on the fuel. Okay. Wow. That's nice offer. All right, so the question is, can we drive a $12,000 car for $700 a month in loss value? Yes, you can, because you're not going to lose that much value. It's a $12,000 car. And so, yeah, as long as you keep the car cheap, I'm taking the money. But if you're going to put a high miles on it, or you're going to try to do an expensive car, then you're much better off to take their car. Because you take a $50,000 car, you're going to lose $700 a month in value just by it sitting in the driveway. So, you know, that's the kind of crap you're dealing with there. So you're not got a lot of loss of value, which is your primary problem, and you've got your repairs covered. I'm probably taking the money and driving a $12,000 car if I'm you. Good question, and really congratulations. Good. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. John and Carolyn are with us. Hey, guys, how are you?
We're doing well.
Welcome, welcome. Where do you live?
We live in Whitehall, Wisconsin.
Ah, welcome to Nashville. Long way from Wisconsin.
Indeed.
So how much have you paid off?
We paid off $166,029 months.
Way to go. Very good. And your range of income during that time?
It was $83,000 to $101,000.
Cool. What do y'all do for a living?
I work in accounting at Pilgrim's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a stay-at-home mom.
Very cool. Very cool. What kind of debt was your $166,000?
It was our house.
Yay! Hey, look at the weird people.
All right.
Way to go, weirdos. I love it. So proud of y'all.
Thank
What's
you.
This house worth?
We looked on Zillow the other day. It was about $232,000.
Awesome. Nice. How old are you guys?
I'm 36.
And I'm 32, and we paid it off just the day before he turned 36.
All right. Well, happy birthday, right? Huh? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Man, who would have ever thought at you two at 36 years old would have paid for a house and 32 years old? Way to go.
Well, we were trying to do it by his 40th birthday, but we got a little ahead of ourselves.
You got a little fired
Man.
Up, did you? Tell us what happened. What got you guys started on this whole idea 2.5 years ago?
Well, I bought the house about 6 months before we got married. So actually, I'm in the 20% that you mentioned earlier.
She let you keep the house. Yeah.
I love the house.
Yeah. And a couple months after we got married, we read your Total Money Makeover book. Neither of us know how it got there, though.
It's a mystery.
Indeed.
Yeah, we were just looking for a book to read out loud to each other. We'd been married about 8 weeks, and we were just like, hey, it'd be fun to read aloud to each other. And he's like, well, what do you want to read? And I was like, well, pick something off our bookshelf. And he's like, how about this book? And I was like, sure. And then we were talking about it later, and I was like, where did that book even come from? We're like, I don't know.
One of your parents snuck into your house.
I think God ordained it that book was on our bookshelf for a reason.
Yeah, so. We do that. We sneak in people's houses and leave them there. Yeah. And then they just discover them. Yeah. Way to go, you guys. That's cool. So you start reading Total Money Makeover, and you go, what happened then in your brain?
All right. Well, we grew up in normal families. They had like mortgages and consumer debt. And we then had a family over from church, and they were talking about how they were planning to pay off their house the next year, and they were like, well, we've had our house for like 30 years and paid more in interest than the house is worth. So we were like, we don't want to be like that.
Yeah, we had just finished reading the book, and after they left, we just looked at each other and we're like, nope, we don't want to do that.
Nope, yeah. Not us.
Yeah. Wow. So you read the book, it hit home, and you started making changes. Did you make any changes to your everyday life in order to make this happen? And if so, like, what were those changes? Because we say all the time, you know, sometimes it's not about that same intensity, but you get intentional about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what did that look like for you?
Well, we adjusted. We did adjust our contributions a little bit. We went out to eat a little bit less, watched what we were buying with, like, groceries and stuff like that. I also had some individual stock. Ooh. And I sold all that and threw it all at the house.
Okay. Love that.
How much of the 166 was that?
About 80.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that jump started big time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So it was just a matter of, let's take what we've got and reorganize it to hit our goal.
Yeah.
Right.
What must be true.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah.
And then you take 80 grand and you just knock that out in 30 months with your incomes.
And the earlier,
well done.
The earlier the better.
So. I know. Yeah. That's right. So how does it feel?
Well, we haven't gotten to feel the grass beneath our feet, but the snow feels cold. It's so cold.
Snow angels in the backyard to celebrate. Yeah.
Indeed.
Very good. Very cool. Good job, guys. All right. So what do you tell people the key is now?
Accountability and budgeting, with like sticking to your budget, like laying out, telling every dollar where you want it to go. And then my wife here was my biggest accountability partner. I did some budgeting before I got married, but it was, oh, I'm gonna make the budget, and then I come back to it like 4 months later. And
yeah,
so
okay, so she kind of turned, she was the one that managed the system, and then you all both worked the system.
No, not necessarily.
I'm the nerd, but okay. She's the one who provided accountability and actually got me to actually
holding each other accountable. Like,
okay,
you know, hey, we want to go out to eat, but we already used up our eating out budget, so we're not.
So we're not. We choose to pay off our house
exactly,
early instead. Instead of one more steak. Yeah,
right.
Very good. Yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it. Congratulations,
you guys.
Thank you.
Way to go.
We really appreciate what you've done in our lives.
Well, you did it. All we did is show you how. You're the heroes. And you got the babies. What age are your babies?
Well, we got Terry, who's 19 months, and Harrison is 4 months.
All right. Wow. We'll put them in the picture here to do the debt-free scream. We've got the Live and Give bundle for you, and that includes the Baby Steps Millionaires book. You're on your way to that. The Total Money Makeover book. It can mysteriously appear in one of your friends' house. And, of course, Financial Peace University, a membership to that. If you hadn't done it, go ahead and do it. If not, give it away.
We actually just got done
this past
leading.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, leading
way
FP,
to go.
So.
You're leading it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
you'll
what
be
I'm
great
talking about.
Leaders. I mean, 36 and 32 with paid for a house. You can't really argue with these people.
I know.
I have a different theory. We don't care.
Yeah, listen to these folks. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, very, very cool. But what these young men don't realize, because they're not old enough to even grasp it, is that you've completely changed their family tree. I mean, this is a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You have put yourself in a position to change everything. So very proud of you. I mean, if we just could multiply that couple right there all over America, we could change this whole country.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Well done, you guys. Very, very, very well done. All right, John and Caroline, Terry and Harrison from Wisconsin. $166,000 paid off in 29 months, making 83 to 101. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
3, 2, 1.
We're debt-free!
Yeah! This is how it's done, boys and girls. You gotta love it. You gotta love it, man. You know, when I first started teaching this stuff, I was convinced that I was debt-free, because I was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was convinced I would never borrow money again, because I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd been through hell. We'd lost everything. We'd been through everything. And I didn't know if I could convince anyone else to really do this idea of we're going to pay off our house. And then I got a 36-year-old and 32-year-old in front of me. And I've got this in front of me almost every day of the week these days. People in their 20s and their 30s paying off their homes. Because here's what happens. Here's the thing. If you think, just take, I don't know, $2,000 a month house payment.
Mm-hmm.
From age 32 to age 72, that's millions and millions of dollars in a mutual fund. If they just put what used to be a house payment, that's all they do. Yep. They don't do anything else.
Yep.
In their 60s and 70s, they're going to be multi-millionaires.
And for the people listening who sometimes go, I don't want to wait till I'm in my 60s to be a millionaire. They're going to be a millionaire before that.
Yeah.
They're going to have some millions before
that. Well, because they're not going to just do a house payment.
Right.
But my point is the power of not having a house payment mathematically.
Yeah.
And the power of investing the equivalent.
Yeah.
When Sharon and I finally paid off our house years and years and years ago, we went back and said, man, we're going to take that old house payment now and we're going to just see what that put that one amount into a mutual fund. That mutual fund became $1 million so fast. It was scary how fast it happened.
Unbelievable.
Just that one fund. That was one of our millions. You know, I mean, it's just, it blows your mind how this math works.
Yes. And don't just take our, take our word for it, but man, like get on a calculator, get on an investment calculator, like start playing with those numbers and seeing it. I know for me, that's what I needed to do because you hear people talk about it and there's still this piece of your brain that's like, is it really possible? Yes, it is.
Well, Albert Einstein said that, you know, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world. Those who understand it, earn it. Those who don't pay it.
Good word.
And that's, you know, hello.
Good word, Albert.
Rich people ask how much. Poor people ask how much down, how much a month. That's how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. Man, what a cool couple.
Really, really cool. I'm just looking at him. Changing your life, changing your family tree.
That's fun.
Anyone can do it.
This is The Ramsey Show. Our scripture of the day, Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Paul Harvey said, in times like these, it helps to recall that there have always been times like these.
Love it.
This is true. Crazy's always been on the block. All right, Jill is with us. Jill is in Spokane, Washington. Hi, Jill. How are you?
Well, hi, Dave. Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Just had a quick question. My father passed away a few months ago, and one of his brokers or financial people called me today. He had an IRA with them, and he was going over the options of either cashing it out or putting it in an inherited IRA, where it has to be down to zero in 10 years.
Correct.
And wondering what you think is the best option.
Do you have any debt?
No.
None at all?
None.
How much do you have in savings?
In savings in the bank, we have about 140.
Okay. What do you plan to do with that?
We're both retired, so we're just kind of living off of it right now.
Okay. Sorry, I'm sorry about your dad. How old was he?
Thank you. He actually was 4 days shy of 96.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh. How much is in the inherited IRA?
It isn't, on this particular one, it isn't much. I think once it's split between my siblings, it'll be about $16,000.
Okay. All right. Well, as he said, you have to pull it out $1,600 a year and be taxed on it as you pull it out. Or you just pull it out now and you're taxed on it.
Right.
What I would do has nothing to do with the math. It has to do with you guys are financially in great shape, and $16,000 is not making any movement whatsoever in your life one way or the other. And
right.
So what I'm going to do is just to limit the hassle. I don't want to mess with it for 10 years. I'm just going to cash it out.
Okay.
Pay the taxes. Just, but that has nothing to do with the math. That's just, I don't want to mess with it.
Right. Just be done with it.
You know,
yeah.
If it was $1.6 million, you know, I might fool with it because the taxes are going to be substantial. But the taxes on $16,000 is going to be $3,000 or $4,000 and we're done. We don't think about it again, you know? And so mm-hmm. you take the money, go do, add it to your savings, go do with whatever you want to do with it. Do something in his memory or, you know, something that he would have thought was fun. Go do that. I don't care. Whatever it is you want to do. But I'm just doing that on a, I try to do things just to keep things really simple these days. I have enough complexity to my life without adding little nitsy things. You know what I'm saying?
No, I appreciate that. Yes.
So that's probably the direction I'm going. But if I'm you, but there's no math behind that direction. It's simply the minimalist. My friend's the minimalist, the way of living. I just don't want to deal with junk. You know, I don't want to deal with stuff.
Mm.
So not like I really live a minimalist life. I don't. But I do have more shirts than black shirts. That's all sure. they wear is black shirts. But they they're friends of ours, and they do a great job. We love their stuff. But the point being that simplify, you know, when you can, when in doubt. Now, again, if you were broke and you needed the money,
that's different.
Or you didn't have any investments going, we might try to drag it out, turn it into, you know, some kind of get a little bit complicated with it, might mm-hmm. be worth it. But in her world, it's not much money.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing.
Good stuff. Now, here's what the new SECURE Act says. Used to be that if you inherited an IRA, some of you got one 3 years ago or something, okay, you had different rules. But if someone passed away in 2020 or later, then what you're going to have is if you inherited an IRA on or before January 1st, 2020, the new law does not apply to you. But after that, the new law says you inherit an IRA, whatever it is, it all has to come out in 10 years. So 10% a year for 10 years. It has to be emptied mm-hmm. in 10 years because the government wants their money. And there's taxes due on that when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
So there, it's like the required minimum distribution that's there. It requires you to pull it out beginning now at 73.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a formula that requires you to cash out traditional IRAs, not Roth IRAs, but traditionals. And this is that traditional is the only thing we're talking about here because Roth, there's no taxes on it anyway. You just take it out.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. But are we forced to take it out and pay the taxes now? Well, today, if it's someone that passes after January 1st of 2020, SECURE Act says, this is the original SECURE Act, not 2.0, but it still says 10 years. You got 10 years to do it.
Hmm.
Andrew is with us in Santa Barbara. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the Ramsey Show. What's up?
Hey, sir. I just wanted to, you know, I want to be weird like you guys talk about. I hear debt-free screens all the time. You know, we want to get to that point, my wife and I. Fortunately, we don't own a house right now. So that's something later down the road that we'll get to. But we just started SPU a couple weeks ago. We got step one knocked out. We're in step two right now.
Way to go.
Speaking of baby steps, you know, we have a baby on the way. Our first we're expecting.
Congrats.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And so we're just, you know, while we're paying that debt off, we want to make sure that we're also trying to, you know, start saving up for kids, for the kiddo, because kids are expensive. You know, I have a five-year-old from my first marriage, so I realize how expensive kids are.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't know if you guys had any advice on while we're working on baby step two, you know, how can we kind of start stuffing away bits and pieces here and there to get the kiddo started off right?
Yeah. How much debt are you working to pay off?
Total combined, I mean, we really don't have a lot, honestly. So we have the car as our biggest one. We owe about 23 on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then about, $1,200 on a credit card. So, you know, we've got maybe 24 total in debt that we got to pay off.
What's your income?
We get about $2,800 every 2 weeks. I'm on, salary, she's on time card, so it kind of varies a little bit with her time. About $5,600 a month is what we average.
Okay. You know, a lot of times we would say to pause the baby steps or pause the debt snowball while you're waiting for a baby to arrive. You know, we want to make sure that there's so many variables with babies arriving in this world. So we want to make sure that you've got the money to cover it. I mean, obviously, you're going to be paying your deductible out of pocket, that sort of thing. And, you know, stack up all that money, all the money that you would have. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, so the good thing, the birth itself, so I'm in the military, so healthcare will cover the entire birth.
Wow, great.
So that we don't have to worry about paying for anything for the birth. We just wanted to, you know, start still, you know, stuffing away things for, I mean, because kids grow out of diapers.
What's, you know, what's the, you, know you don't need money for that. You need a budget for that. What's your due date?
Yeah, August 12th right now.
Congratulations. This is a wonderful time for y'all. Thank you for your service. So I'm still going to do what Jade suggested, Andrew. There's no downside to it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep working your budget with the same intensity that you were going to work it for paying off debt. The only difference is pay minimum payments on everything and pile up as big a pile of cash as you can pile up. How much do you think you could pile up between now and August 12th? $10,000?
I would say at least, yeah. If we're going to keep on track of
let's call it $15,000. Okay, so $15,000 is piled up and baby comes. Military pays all the medical expenses. There's no problems. Baby comes home. Mama comes home. No problems. Take $15,000. Put it on, pay off your stupid little card, and then put the rest of it on the car, and then we'll finish up the car by Christmas. Okay, you're going to be out of debt at almost within a minute or two, the same speed as if you just pay down the debt. But what this gives you is $15,000 worth of breathing room with a brand new baby coming, it just in case something weird is going on.
Right. And the key is don't cool out your intensity just because you're not making those extra payments every month, right? Keep going hard at it.
I push pause and pile up cash. Use the cash to catch back up right to where you would have been. But that gives you this breathing room because in case something happens, it's too important an event to not have margin right now. That's what we would do. That puts this hour of the Ramsey Show in the books. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jade. Look, if you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey Baby Steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. That's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.